Fans, great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. Joining us is Lavelle Neal. Of course, he's a columnist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, a former president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. He knows Twins baseball. Lavelle, a big deal for the Twins over this All-Star break. Byron Buxton, wow, what a home run he hit Tuesday night. What did you think of that?
I'm happy for Buck because I think Buck has not been on a national spotlight very often. Because this is his first All-Star game. And, you know, injuries have kept him from being in the lineup long enough to put up numbers worthy of All-Star selection. So for him to finally get his first opportunity to be a part of the event, I think is thrilling for him. And for him to step up and hit a home run and show to everybody the power that he has, I think that was rather impressive. I playfully argued on social media that he should have received the MVP award because he had the game-winning hit. But, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, one, he's a Yankee, and there's always East Coast bias in these things. And two, he's from the California area, so they thought it was fitting for him. But I'm glad that Bucks is able to show the type of player he is because he hasn't had the many opportunities because of injuries. And two, the Twins are in the middle of an 18-game postseason losing streak, so it's not like he had deep runs in the postseason for him to showcase his talent either. So this was good for Buck.
Well, the Twins just don't ever want to see the New York Yankees in the postseason. I'm sure you know that. The Yankees have certainly taken care of him, but it's a different Twins team now. They've got a fellow who's leading the league in hitting and got a big double last night against a very tough Cardinal reliever. What about Luis Arraez?
His bat-to-ball skills are pretty impressive, Marty. Luis Arraez came up with that ability. And I think his first year in the majors, he ended up with an 8-pitch at bat against Edwin Diaz before Diaz got traded to the Mets. And he was falling off 100-mile-an-hour pitches left and right and finally worked a walk and got a standing ovation. That was like his rookie season. And he has done that consistently. And now he spent this offseason working out a lot to get his body in probably the best shape ever. And he is slicing balls left, right, center field, and beating shifts. And just showing that he is one of the best contact hitters in the game, and it's fun watching him hit. I mean, you get infatuated with the long ball. You want to watch the big boys go out and hit titanic blasts, but you know now you want to watch Luis Arraez because you think that he's got a great chance of getting a hit whenever he digs in at the dish.
Well, it was great, a great at bat in the All-Star game. Lavelle Neal is with us. Lavelle, the Giants see the Twins at the end of August. This Twins ball club, one of the big surprises, maybe the Orioles in Seattle would be the other two in the American League, but everyone conceded this race to the White Sox, and the Twins sort of were an afterthought. How are they doing this thing? Because they're right there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They are in. They've faltered a little bit late over the last month or so. They've lost a lot of close games, especially the White Sox and Cleveland Indians, or that lead would be even bigger. But they play solid defense. The defense up the middle is pretty strong with Carlos Correa and Buxton and Jorge Polanco. They have gotten they've got some timely hitting, and they've got a couple of young kids, and Alex Kirilloff and Jose Miranda, who are starting to get their footing as hitters and have contributed to the offense. You think about the Twins lineup, Bucks is an all-star, Arraez is an all-star. Carlos Correa has been an all-star, and Jorge Polanco has been an all-star. You got a lineup that has four all-star guys in it, so that's going to make them tough. The key has been pitching, and they've gotten enough out of the rotation to get to this point. They probably could use another starter before the deadline. They definitely need bullpen help. But with Sonny Gray's pitching well, and this kid Joe Ryan, who they received from the Rays for one half season of Nelson Cruz, looks like it's going to be a really good trade. So they can pitch a little bit. They definitely have good defense. They get enough hitting, and they just got to work on this bullpen because another guy you probably don't know of that the Giants fans are going to salivate over is Jo'Ann Duran, 6'4" right-hander who has hit 103 on the radar gun and has taken over as the ninth inning guy for the Twins. The key now is just building a bridge to him as a couple guys have kind of struggled. So you're going to see some talent on this team. It's a good squad. I don't think it's a great squad, but there should be some good games because the Giants are pretty good too.
Boy, good report. Yeah, the Twins are hanging in there, and they need the players to do it. What about the manager, Rocco Baldelli? Of course, never managed before. The Twins brought him in to take over the club. How does he do? How do you deal with him? Do you like him? Give us a little bit of a thumbnail on Rocco.
Yeah, I think Rocco's wiser than his years because he's not that old. He was just playing like, I think, 12, 15 years ago, so he's not that old. You know, he knows the game. He knows how to handle. He handles players well. The players like playing for him. But he's got some modern things that can irk some people. You know, rest and recovery is a big thing for him. So, you know, he hands out days off, you know, or half days off like it's candy sometimes. When, you know, back in the day, other guys would just kind of fight through it. His pitching decisions, I think, you know, set him up for the most criticism because he's a big proponent of if you let a starter face a lineup the third time through, it's going to be dangerous. So you see a lot of being removed, you know, after two times through the order. And I've always believed that when you are trying to get your bullpen to cover 12, 15 outs a game, sometimes you are playing reliever roulette. And one of those, and it's going to end up backfiring somewhere along that chain of command. So I would like to see him to get more comfortable with letting guys go deeper into games as we go along. But, you know, he's still relatively new at handling a pitching staff, and I think he's done a decent job except for his adamancy about taking guys out two times through the order.
Well, that sounds like Gabe Kapler. That sounds like you're doing our show out here. That's been the argument. You just can't ask the bullpen for four innings every day. Eventually it wears you down. Boy, good insight on Rocco Baldelli. Lavelle, one more question for you, and that is, what's the biggest challenge for the Twins? Is there a team in the division that'll challenge him, or is it internally about the ball club to get them to the promised land, so to speak?
Well, I think it's at the front office's hands now. They've got to augment the bullpen with some quality arms and maybe find a starter. They've had some issues with the starting rotation that's backfired. They traded for Chris Paddock. They sent Taylor Rogers, who's been a good reliever, to the Padres, to Chris Paddock. And they like Paddock. He's got a nice breaking ball, throws decently. But Paddock already had one Tommy John surgery and got injured after he joined the Twins and had a second Tommy John surgery. So that trade looks very shaky because the success rate of pitchers who've had two Tommy John surgeries is not very good. If they have been rumored to be interested in the starter for the Reds, Iglesias, or the starter for Oakland, Frankie Montas, as far as trade targets, and we'll see if they're willing to make a move to bring in another quality starter. But they definitely need relief help. To me, the key for the second half is going to be if the front office can give them the vote of confidence that we believe you guys have gotten us this far and we're going to help you take it across the finish line and get them a couple more players.
Boy, if you get the Cincinnati guy Castillo, I think that's the one you're referring to.
Thank you, Castillo. Yeah.
That would be a big deal. All right. Now, White Sox Indians, who's the big threat?
I think Cleveland's punched above their weight a little bit. The Guardians have a good crop of young players. That have advanced faster than they thought. Stephen Kwan looks like he's a nice hitting outfield prospect. They've got a good young pitching staff led by Shane Beaver. And they have been a pain in the Twin sides this year, but it should be the White Sox. They've got some quality hitters in that lineup. They can't get out of their own way. They're not, they've got spots in that order in that defense that are shaky. They haven't gotten the consistency in the starting rotation that they hope to get. But the thing that's envious of Chicago is that if they're leading after six, you have to face Joe Kelly in the seventh, Kendall Graveman in the eighth, and Liam Hendricks in the ninth. Mm. And that's the one part of that formula that clicks for them. It's just they've had problems getting to that this year. And if they start getting to that formula more often in the second half of the season, they could put some heat on the Twins.
Well, great to have you on, Lavelle. I really appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to August and get you on before that. But keep in touch, and I appreciate you being on. Thank you.
My pleasure, Ben. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Lavelle Neal. He covers the Twins, and he's a columnist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He's been a longtime guest on our show for many years, and always appreciate it. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, with 15 locations to serve you. This month's spotlight is on the San Francisco Foster Youth Fund.